I guess drank each other's blood might mislead people, or like people are imagining us with like goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. It's just a few drops, but yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy. You know the drill. I gotta keep saying it, do I? You already know. We're just gonna move on. We're just gonna assume you know the drill. You know who it is. You know what we're here to do. No, hey, that's Sam Tripoli. Damn it. He's got that. That's a perfect saying. But today, we're going to do another of one of the most popular formats of my show, the TMZ Illuminate Confirm. We basically are going to talk about a lot of celebrity news. And I got to tell you, folks, I don't know what the hell is going on. I do have a theory, and we'll talk about it at the very end, just so I can keep your attention for the full hour. Make sure you listen to the whole thing. It's a terrifying theory, so hopefully I'm way wrong, but we'll see. Today we're going to talk about, I mean, the list goes on and on. We're going to talk about the Met Gala 22, Moloch at the Coachella, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox drinking the blood, D. Antwoord, Dave Chappelle, DaBaby, and Mike Tyson. I mean, I don't even know what to say. There's so much going on. Without further ado, let's just get into it. Housekeeping. I've still got some shirts left. I'm running out of sizes, though. You know, I got a new design up there. It's a beautiful three-quarter sleeve and ultra-soft shirt with the 70s logo. Gumroad.com/IsaacW, link in the show notes. And I'm getting another design. I should have them in tomorrow. Then I'm going to launch that. So be sure to follow me on the Instagram so you can check it out. I'll be thirst trapping the new shirt, and you're going to love it. I'm telling you, I think this is going to be the most popular one. And while you're on the Instagram, check out the post I'll make for this show. Lots of images to support what we're talking about, because there's a lot to talk about. I'll be hard-pressed to get this thing under an hour. And look, I'm in a salty mood. Look, 2 seconds. 2 seconds and we'll get into it. Today started out beautiful. I did a little CrossFit workout, feeling good. And I went to lay down. I went to take a nice little nap. I budgeted in time for a nap. And I laid down and I faded off. I put on Children of the Corn from the 80s, a Stephen King movie, you know, paid attention to the point where Malachi come in and start catching bodies, and I was like, okay, haha, and I started falling asleep. Someone comes and knocks on my door. Can you believe it? I don't know, you can hear, and we got a 20 megaton warhead bomb dropping overhead. I don't know what's going on outside. It's a terrible day in suburban hell for a nap, let me tell you. People knocking on the door. Who knocks on the door anymore? Who does this? Woke me up. So now I'm salty and you got to deal with it. So, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it together for you guys. Let's get into it. Ghislaine Maxwell, I forgot to mention her. She got 10 years knocked off of her sentence. Shout out Dr. Anteater on the drop for that. The argument apparently was that two of the charges she had were so similar that they were throwing one out or reducing it. But she's still set to do 55 years, so it doesn't matter. And maybe, right? Maybe she'll be eligible for parole in like 10 years or whatever these people do. I don't understand how the legal system works. Like, I don't know how Bill Cosby got out. I still don't understand that. I hear raping chicks. Allegedly, I don't know. I'm going to say allegedly just to cover my bases. You know what I mean? Mike Tyson, let's get into it. He was on Joe Rogan. Now, I haven't listened to the whole show, but I did listen to one particular clip, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
Whatever you think a human did to another human being, it happened. Anything, I don't know, fucked me, ate yep. or whatever yep. it is, it happened.
Somewhere in history, it definitely happened. Yes. It probably happened somewhere this
year. Yes, and sometimes in these special camps and stuff, it happens. These people own these thousands of acres, and nothing grows on them, and just... Right. Let's keep it there.
Weird ranches where people meet and do might rituals.
Might
want
to hunt a motherfucker. Let him go.
That's not outside the realm of possibility.
I know. That's why I'm throwing it at you.
I guarantee you there's been someone somewhere in the world who paid someone to hunt a person. I guarantee you that's
listen,
happened.
Listen, no. This is what happened. They take these homeless people off the streets, put them in there, take them to one of these special hospitals. They take them from that hospital, may have them drugged up, take them on these large estates of property. Let's hunt.
Jesus
run.
Christ.
Nigga, run. No, really, I really
that's
believe
been in,
I really believe that.
I think, well, that book, The Most Dangerous Game, didn't that come out in like the 30s? It's an old, old book about that very, very thing. Rich people hunting poor people.
The only reason we hunt the fox. Why is the only reason we hunt fox?
I think there's their fur.
The fox is the only one that backs tracks.
Oh, because it's sneaky.
He's the only one that backs track. Like if he chases, he'll go forward and then he'll come backwards and go this way.
To trick you.
Yeah. That's the only challenging chase. Everything else is too easy. It's too simple-minded. The fox is the only one that's challenging.
Oh, that's interesting. And that so, makes sense. I never thought about it that
and
way.
And so now they say, well, the fox is the most reasonable animal. Let's try a human animal, see how reasonable he is.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed someone's done that.
That's
if you
what,
think of all
they
the
wanna
harassment.
They want to challenge reasonability.
Yes.
Let's see how he thinks. How right. does he think? How does he superior than us? Why are we superior? They're not going to do with anything they think that's inferior than them.
Yeah.
They're gonna study what they're going to attack or what they're going to make their victim.
He told Joe Rogan he thinks that rich people are hunting homeless people for fun. And this was also very curious because the same day the Joe Rogan interview dropped was the same day or the day after that he was all over the news for punching that dude on the plane. Did you see that video? There's a video of I don't know the story. The guy was sitting behind him and Mike Tyson just went off, started punching this guy, just some dude, right? I guess he was being annoying or something. So, of course, that dominates the headlines and no one's talking about what he said on Joe Rogan. And let's dissect this for just one second. At the beginning of the clip, you hear him talk about how he said, look, like, he said something about how this has all been done before. He's like, I don't care what it is. Humans have tried everything. And he starts to say, we've tried eating people, which is true, right? Cannibalism. But he kind of cuts it off real quick. And then they get on to the talk about how they would hunt humans. The elites would hunt humans. And it's interesting. He even talks about how some people could have thousands or hundreds of acres with no farm land on there. What are they doing with all that acreage? Implying that they would be hunting humans. But you know what it made me think of? It made me think of Bill Gates, right? Remember, he's been buying up all that farmland. Is he buying it to hunt humans? I don't know. And here's the thing with Mike Tyson. This guy's hung out with very powerful people. He's Mike Tyson. You think he's just coming up with this stuff? He's just playing, making it up in his head? No, I think he really knows some stuff. He doesn't say the words that, oh, I know because so-and-so, but he says stuff like, oh, I think they did it. I think they do this stuff. And I think they do too. Back in August of 2020, we did an episode where we analyzed the film The Hunt, if you recall. I'll put a link in the show notes. And the whole film was about how they suppress conspiracy theories about these elites hunting humans. And I made a big deal about how in this film, I believe, there's a lot of evidence pointing to the idea that this is loosely based upon elements found in Animal Farm, which was the George Orwell story. It's the communism scare tactic propaganda film, because it was an op run by the American CIA to use Hollywood to make this film to scare us about how bad communism was. And on that episode, I pointed out the interesting irony that this film called The Hunt had elements of Animal Farm, which was a CIA op for Project Mockingbird or whatever. It was an op run by E. Howard Hunt. So how curious, the Hunt, Howard Hunt, you get it. You can check out that show, August 2020. I'll put a link in the show notes. Moving on. D. Antwoord. Maybe you know who they are, maybe you don't. These are two... I think they're South African. Let me look it up for you. D. Antwoord was a musical group in the like early 2010s, South Africa. There you go. Boom. Good. It was this man and this woman. The guy goes by Ninja. The girl goes by Yolandi. And they were very influential at the time. They were huge names. Very strange looking people. And back in 2014, I wrote up an analysis of these two and their band and all the occult symbolism. It probably deserves a whole show on its own. But to sum it up, they use a lot of symbolism of chaos magic. They use a lot of symbols of occult rituals and witchcraft. And they even have sigils flashing all over the place. I'll put some of the images on the Instagram post so you can see what I'm talking about. And Cara Delevingne, the actress, model, she was in one of their videos. She was also recently topless. I don't know if you know that, at the Met Gala. Anyways, the reason why we're talking about them is because they recently have been accused of abuse. And I'm going to carefully read from NME.com an article called "D. Antwoord's Adopted Son Accuses the Band of Physical and Sexual Abuse and Slavery." The South African duo have denied the allegations made against them. Here's what the article says. "D. Antwoord's adopted son has accused the band of physical and sexual abuse, exploitation, and slavery. Gabriel Toki Duprees and his sister were adopted by Yolandi and Ninja when he was 9 years old. He is now 20 and no longer living with the musicians. His sister is now 14 and is still in the pair's custody, although she lives full-time with another family in Johannesburg. The allegations first came to light last week when Duprees shared a video interview he had made with the band's former filmmaker Ben J. Crossman. In an interview with South African news outlet News 24 published earlier this week, Duprees accused the duo of, quote, adopting me to be a slave. They made me feel like I was actually a slave. They made me feel like I wasn't really loved. The guy suffers from a rare skin disease called hypohidrotic ectodermal dysplasia. And he said, they made me believe I was the devil. They made me swear more and made me believe that I could burn people in hell and that I am the king of hell. They told me that I could bring darkness upon the world. He also alleged that Jones and Dutois, forced him and his sister to undress in front of them anytime they were bought new clothes. If they refused to do so, they would be punished. Duprees claimed that when he was 13, Dutois asked him to spend time with her in a room at a house party while she was naked. Quote, Yolandi called me into the room. She was naked and vomiting all over. She was laying with her legs open like the sex doll I had in my room. The worst part was seeing my supposed-to-be mother or adopted mother being naked in a room drunk, experiencing my mother being drunk, naked, and wanting me to spend time with her in the room while she was naked. I found that very disturbing. He continued to claim that his sister no longer wants to visit Jones and Dutois because each time she does, they ask her to get naked. Quote, last December, Ninja and them apparently took my sister into a sauna and everyone was naked in the sauna and wanted my sister to get naked too. Why does Ninja want to see my sister naked? She is so small, it is pretty weird. It feels like a pervy vibe to me that Ninja wants to have with my sister. Every time when he phones the family, they ask if my sister is pregnant yet. And that is not going to happen, not on my watch. Toki, this kid, this guy who's talking about this stuff, he was actually in the video for I Think You Freaky. He's got the like vampire looking teeth. Anyway, it's pretty wild. And D. Edward, they deny the whole thing. But as you could see, if you could read my article I had written with all the photos from all the videos, you would see they use a lot of satanic symbolism. I will put some of those images on the Instagram so you can see what I'm talking about. This might take a couple posts. There's so much to cover today. So there you go. They're trying to tell their kid to bring evil into the world, which is what I argue a lot of these musicians are into. It's all over the artwork. Why wouldn't it be real? Moving on, Dave Chappelle, as you already know, was attacked on stage by a man who had a knife that looked like a gun. How he got in there, we don't know. And if you haven't seen the full clip, I'm going to play it for you now. It's actually pretty wild. And it's, look, these are some good comedians. He's had his life threatened, and they're cracking jokes. Take a listen.
History. Thank God that was clumsy. He's back there getting stomped. Where did that come from? Thank you, son. It was a trans man.
Was that Will Smith?
Dave Chappelle's like, thank God he was clumsy. And then Chris Rock asks if it's Will Smith. That's pretty funny, right? Pretty funny. So the dude had a replica handgun knife. His name was Isaiah Lee. And I got some wild stuff about this guy. And he promptly got the absolute ever-loving shit kicked out of him by security. Dave Chappelle joked that Jamie Foxx and Jon Stewart helped stomp this guy. Then I guess that turned out to not be true. Who knows? I'm recording this show Thursday, May 5th, by the way. In case you're listening, especially if you're on that free feed and you got to wait till Monday. Because only Lord knows what's going to happen between now and Monday. So I'm recording this on Thursday. Now, there's some weird connections to the LGBTQ movement with this, right? If you recall, we've talked about Dave Chappelle on this show, poking the LGBT bear, no pun intended, on his special that he had last year. And if you recall, I don't know if you watched it, he barely, I don't know, it's tough, right? I am not a member of the LGBTQ community. Therefore, I do not know what it feels like, but I do try to support them as much as I can, right? But to me, I felt like it wasn't that bad. He was talking about how his close friend was a member, and it was a sad story and all that. But it's like, I don't know. On some levels, I'm kind of like, look, guys, like you got to learn to sort of take a joke. Like, we all take jokes. You know, I got attacked at the comedy club in Salt Lake City just last weekend. I made a comment about it on my Instagram story, if you caught it. I'll just tell you real quick. Me and Josie and a couple friends, we walk into this bar and they happen to have a comic up on stage sort of doing his thing. Very informal though, right? And we walk in and we're looking to get into our seats and the guy sees me. I'm not even looking at him. I'm just minding my own business like a good Christian soldier. And he apparently looks at me and points me out and says, look, we got Post Malone, which I guess is kind of funny and ironic since Post Malone apparently has a house in Salt Lake City. And he says, look, it's Post Malone of, what do you call me, a Fisher Price drug dealer is what he called me. And that's actually a very good burn. That was very good. Now, you know, I'm vertically challenged. I'm only 5'8". I could have been very sensitive to that. But I was not. I just gave him the thumbs up. I thought that was actually a really good burn. Now, granted, that's a completely different situation, right? Like, guys, white guys, 5'8", don't have a history of being, like, killed and beat up and all that stuff. So, like, trust me, I get it. But what I'm saying is I stand by, like, Dave Chappelle's a comedian. He's going to make fun of you. That's what happens. That's why you don't sit in the front row at a comedy club. You're going to get roasted. That's why you don't come in late for a show. You're going to get roasted, as I did. Anyhow, after this attack, Dave Chappelle, he made a joke. He says, it was a trans man. And it was a joke. It was clearly a joke. He used inflection to indicate it as such at this comedy show where he was performing jokes. But of course, this triggered all kinds of stuff. And now he's in trouble again with the LGBTQ because they're like, oh, this is so whatever, right? But it's kind of like, I don't know, like the guy literally just almost got killed. He's trying to get the show back on track. It, you know, it's tough. Now, there were claims that Isaiah Lee, the guy, the perpetrator here, was part of the LGBTQ community. And I couldn't confirm it, but I swear I saw a tweet of him calling out Dave Chappelle. He had commented on a post back when Chris Rock got slapped by Will Smith. And he said something to the effect of, Dave Chappelle, you're next, for implying for the comments about the community, right? Well, Rolling Stone, they're on it. They already interviewed Isaiah Lee's brother, Aaron Lee. I'm going to read to you from Rolling Stone. Lee's brother, Aaron Lee, tells Rolling Stone that Isaiah has been in and out of shelters in Hollywood, California for much of the last decade and has lots of friends in the transgender community. Still, Aaron doesn't believe his brother would lash out as an act of activism against Chappelle, who recently drew ire from the LGBTQ community for jokes about trans people. I don't have anything negative to say about Isaiah. He's a performing artist who tries to stay as positive as possible. He does have a history of mental health issues. He does take medicine. Maybe he missed out on taking his prescription, but he's not the type to just lash out. I don't understand. And they're talking about Isaiah Lee, and they say he rapped under the name No Name Trapper and posted a song online 2 years ago titled Dave Chappelle, misspelled. His brother says Isaiah only picked that title to get search engine hits. Aaron says he never heard his brother express any ill will towards the comedian. He does have a connection with the transgender... He does have a connection with the transgender community, Aaron tells Rolling Stone. He used to stay at a shelter that helps transgender people. He's been homeless since 11. He came out to California after our grandmother died and basically was in the streets getting help from different programs in Hollywood, like My Friend's Place. He went to a lot of different organizations out there that help transgender people. Yeah, it could have definitely been a factor, but I really don't know. I don't understand how this happened. He's a gentleman. He is kind, a kind, humble, nice person. Maybe if he was getting picked on, maybe he would defend himself, but I don't understand why he would attack anybody. That doesn't make any sense. So there you go. As usual, all roads lead to mental health, right? Something our country in America here typically doesn't give two shits about. Not a strong part of our culture. That's why you go to betterhelp.com/Illuminati Watcher to get 10% off your first month. Sponsor. I love my sponsors, right? Sponsoring the show. But I actually feel bad for this guy in some way, right? This guy might have just been off his meds. And the dude had a very rough go at life. I mean, he was homeless at 11. Could you imagine? I mean, that's terrible. That's tragic. That's awful. And they smashed this dude so hard. His arm looked completely broken in half like a I don't know, like a broken hanger. Now, of course, that doesn't give him the right to try and kill Dave Chappelle. What are you doing? Don't do that. Come on, bro. Not Dave Chappelle. So, like, it's tough, man. It's a, you know, a lot of people, you know, and I love Dave Chappelle. I'm happy nothing bad happened to him. I don't think it's in any way acceptable for this guy to do what he did. And I think if he didn't have this history of mental illness, that I'd feel a little bit better about him getting just, I mean, if you see the photo of him, I mean, it looks like he's growing a second head. He's got such a big lump on his head. They kicked the shit out of that guy, which makes me sad. You know, it's like beating up a mentally handicapped person in some ways. And look, I'm not trying to defend. I'm not saying like, oh, you should have just, you know, subdued the guy. Like, I don't know. It's tough, right? Like, he did try to kill Dave Chappelle. So there's that. But this is a microcosm of life in America. On the one hand, we have this mentally ill, homeless guy who is a danger to society, almost killed one of the greatest comedians of all time. And we don't really do as much as we could to help these people. And don't ask me what that is. I don't know the answer to that. And then we have Will Smith, who did a similar, I mean, nowhere near the same, let's be honest. Still, he went on stage and attacked a comedian. And there were two very different responses to these two events. On, you know, Will Smith gets a standing ovation. He gets front row seats at the show. And he's partying and dancing afterwards. Meanwhile, this other guy, he's catching the fade hard. He spent the few, I'm sure he's still in the emergency room. And, you know, Howard Stern said the same thing. He said the same thing. He said, I'm going to read you from Howard Stern. He said, the audience, the Oscars, gave Will Smith a standing ovation after the attack. That's the truth. It's on film. It's not fake news. They didn't break Will's hands. They shook them. And it's wrong. So, very big moment in pop culture history again. Now, let's talk about Isaiah Lee. Let's talk about No Name Trapper, this guy. There's a video he posted on social media with a filter, like a, I don't know, Snapchat filter or whatever, showing him, and it was the same day, apparently, before the show, showing him with demon horns and like a bloody nose, and he's wearing the same hoodie, right? So in some ways, he showed, I mean, this is being very literal, so bear with me. He showed that he's possessed by the devil and he's got blood coming out of his face. Almost predictive programming of what would happen and transpire that night. And what's real curious is the track called Dave Chappelle from 2 years prior, apparently, I couldn't confirm this, has a line in it that says, walking straight into the bowl, capital B, meaning the Hollywood Bowl, which is exactly where he attacked Dave Chappelle. And he also raps about how great Donald Trump is in that song, if the lyrics that I found online were correct. Now, if you go to his Instagram, he's got a couple of these videos, these stories posted. And one of them shows that he goes by this name, Issa Trap, on SoundCloud, all right? And he doctored up the photo to show he has millions of listens on SoundCloud. And the video says he's going to tattoo SoundCloud on his face. And none of that turned out to be true. Because I found Issa Trap on SoundCloud. And there's not millions of listens. But to be fair, he apparently has mental illness, right? So that plays a role that no one's really talking about. Anyway, there's a track on there. There's several tracks called No Salsa. One of them has a photo of a circular Ouija board with the Baphomet goat on it. And he's doing the Masonic triad claw, kind of like, looks like the West Coast where the two middle fingers are connected. It's a Freemason symbol. And I found that very interesting. You've got this guy with the devil horns, showing us the devil horns and the blood. And he had previously I don't know if that's an actual Ouija board he got. I don't know if that's him in the photo even. But the only artwork he had on the It's a Trap SoundCloud page was this Ouija board with the Baphomet. Is this guy channeling some kind of demonic energy? Is he attracting dark spirits? Is this the same argument we had with Travis Scott? Travis Scott, while I don't necessarily believe Travis Scott wanted his fans to be murdered at his show, I don't know that he overtly worships Satan, but he sure does employ a lot of the symbolism that suggests maybe that's the case. Maybe dark forces came down. So yeah, really weird situation going on here with this Dave Chappelle attack. And, you know, I'm glad Dave Chappelle's okay. That's not, you know, I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy. So I hate that this is happening right now. I hope this is the last time something like that happens. And this will play into my theory we'll talk about at the end. All right, moving on. Speaking of Dave Chappelle, we're going to talk about DaBaby. That's right, the rapper DaBaby. And in Dave Chappelle's Netflix special, I believe it was called The Closer from last year, where he made the LGBT comments, right? He had made a comment about how LGBT community tried to cancel DaBaby because DaBaby made a joke, not a joke, DaBaby made a comment about AIDS, implying that, I don't know, gay people have AIDS or something to that effect at his concert. Not a good comment, not the worst either, right? But yeah, either way, the LGBT community apparently were trying to cancel DaBaby. And Dave Chappelle made a joke, basically implying that that's pretty wild that they would be so upset that they would want to cancel him for making a statement like that, when the dude actually literally killed somebody a couple years prior, which is true, right? And that all happened, you know, a couple months ago. And so much has happened ever since with DaBaby. Something's up with this guy. So Dave Chappelle brings to light a thing that a lot of people in the rap community knew about, right? The story is that DaBaby was at Walmart. Someone came up to him, I guess threatened his life in some way. DaBaby pulls out a gun, shoots and kills the guy in Walmart. DaBaby gets off the hook with a self-defense plea. Since then, the video of the actual altercation leaked online of this guy, quote-unquote, attacking DaBaby. And if you watch the out-of-context sort of video, it doesn't seem too out of context. It appears that the guy goes up to DaBaby and is just talking to him. And DaBaby just kind of like tackles him. And they get into a skirmish. And I didn't see DaBaby actually shoot him. I guess that happens on a different angle. I don't know. But it really made it look like, dude, like that wasn't what was said. That wasn't self-defense. And apparently the jury saw a different version of the video, because if you watch just that video, you think, wow, that didn't look like self-defense at all. But, you know, judge and jury looked at it. They apparently claimed that that's how it went down. But it was just real weird, because this is something that happened several years ago, like maybe 4 years ago. Then a guy about a month ago was trespassing on DaBaby's property in North Carolina, and DaBaby shoots him. He shoots him. It didn't kill him, right? And he again just got, like, I guess off the hook for self-defense, okay? There was also a video released of DaBaby and his crew at a bowling alley beating up this guy who was his ex-girlfriend, Danny Lee's brother. And when you watch that, and again, probably out of context, it seemed like a pretty unfair fight. There was like eight dudes, including one massive dude, kicking the crap out of this one dude, Danny Lee's brother, right? But again, no clue what the full context is. Then, as if there wasn't enough, then a video releases of a music video shoot of DaBaby and his crew at like a mansion with some fancy cars, right? They were shooting a music video. And the video shows this old white man coming on the set and the people in DaBaby's crew kind of shoving him. Like pushing him around and shoving him to the ground or something like that. And you watch it and you're like, geez, what are they doing, man? That's an old man. What are you doing? Chill out. Well, then if you wait a few days afterwards, they released another video. This old white guy was apparently, I guess it was his house or something. And I don't know if he rented it out or whatever. But he was screaming about calling these guys the N-word. So you're like, well, okay, well, maybe you deserve that. Oh, man. And then finally, rapper Callboy, he called out DaBaby, called him an industry prostitute, implying that he had no ethics or morality of who he'd work with, criticizing how DaBaby worked with Tory Lanez after he shot Megan Thee Stallion, and I guess Megan Thee Stallion and DaBaby are supposed to be friends. I don't know the drama there, whatever. But something's going on there, and that's all I really want to say about that. I don't have any occult symbolism for that. I'm just saying something weird is happening with DaBaby. There's forces trying to cancel him and then counter-cancel him. Who knows? Moving on to, well, maybe our biggest topic here. Met Gala 22. So the Met Gala, right? This is a fundraiser held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. The world's most prestigious fashion event. And it's hard to get an invite, apparently, right? It goes down the first Monday of every May. And there's a theme every year. And we've talked about this Met Gala Ball every year. Well, 2022's theme was the Gilded Age. Now, the Gilded Age is the period after the Civil War, but before the First World War. So we're talking like 1870 to 1910s-ish, which I thought we called the Victorian era. I don't know. Maybe that's an American term for when they say the Gilded Age. Not a historian. But the term Gilded Age was coined by none other than Mark Twain. Now, Mark Twain was a Freemason. He was a Master Mason. Okay? Now, there's only 3 degrees in Masonry. And I know if you're new to the whole, it's very confusing with the Masons. Because there's different flavors of Freemasonry. There's independent lodges all over the place. Each one's different. But in general, Freemasons have 3 degrees. There's the, they get initiated into Entered Apprentice, passed on to Fellow Craft, and then raised to Master Mason. That's the highest order, the 3rd degree. That's what Mark Twain was. And each one's got their own little secret handshakes and all that stuff. And that's the basic structure. And you have to distinguish at that point which club you want to join. You've got the York Rite, which gets you up to 10 degrees, and then you've got the Scottish Rite, which goes up to 33 degrees. That's the one you hear about the most often. That's, you know, we're talking about speculative Freemasonry, okay? This is where you get into all this weird, allegedly Luciferian belief systems. Now, the Gilded Age is described as an ironic comment on the difference between a true Golden Age and their present time, a period of booming prosperity in the U.S. that created a class of the super rich. That's what the American Museum of National History says. Basically, it's when the American capitalists took over. We had the Industrial Age. And, of course, when you talk about conspiracy theory, we're referring to the Rockefeller family, yes. This is the American branch of the supposed Illuminati. You know, because Europe's got the Rothschilds on lock. Well, the Americans got the Rockefellers. Now, gilding, the term itself, is when you make something appear great when it really is not. All right? So you would gild something by putting gold leafing on it, even though it's not really solid gold. It's a fugazi, right? And that was the theme of the Met Gala Ball this year. Now, symbolism. A couple weird things to talk about. We need to talk about them. Kim Kardashian showed up with her boo thang, Pete Davidson, He looked like he was dressed up like a blues brother. But she was wearing Marilyn Monroe's actual dress. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to read you from TMZ. Kim says she passed on carbs for weeks, and you can hear in her voice how she's been longing for a slice or two. Referring to pizza. Trigger warning to all my QAnon pizza folks out there. She's eating the pizza. All right. Always got to take a jab at my QAnon people. I love you guys. Kim said she had to lose 16 pounds to squeeze into that dress. The same one Marilyn Monroe wore 6 decades ago when she sang her sexy version of Happy Birthday to JFK. So many questions. How does a dress last that long? How do you preserve and maintain a dress for that long and then decide, yo, you know what? We should let Kim Kardashian wear it. What? What kind of Illuminati backdoor is going on here? She's been hanging out with Jeff Bezos, so connected. Kim's been hinting at wearing the dress for some time. First, she said she couldn't tailor her outfit. Then she and Pete were spotted leaving Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Orlando, where the iconic dress is on display. And it says that she actually put the dress on for a very short time, but then had to get into a replica of the dress for the rest of the night. Like, she can't be, you know, drinking malt liquor or whatever they do at the Met Gala. I don't know what they do with the Marilyn Monroe's dress. Oh, man. But things get really weird. Really weird things surrounding this whole event. Shout out to Brie Luna for the drop on this. The Shade Room said Kim Kardashian was actually gifted some of Marilyn Monroe's actual hair. And you got to hear what she says about it. Take a listen.
Okay, this is either really cool or a little strange, but that's who you're doing business with, right? So...
What is this?
That is Marilyn's hair. So.
You can clone her.
That's awesome.
Oh my god, I'm literally going to do some crazy voodoo shit that I love. One way. And I channel her. This Incredible. Is so special to me. Thank you so much. This is so cool. So cool.
Good vibes.
Wow. This is... sleeping with me every night. Sorry, babe.
Did you hear what she said? She said, I'm going to clone her. She says, I'm literally going to do some crazy voodoo shit. Now, this adds a lot of fuel to the fire of the Kardashian witch theory that I wrote about in a book called Conspiracy Theories in Unpopular Culture. It's a sort of self-titled book, right? Based on some of the most popular episodes of this podcast. And the Kardashians, and I don't remember if I actually did the show about the Kardashians. There's a few bonus articles in there that weren't on the show. I'll tell you about it, though. The claim is that the Kardashian family, the clan, if you will, comes from a bloodline of witches. Because they have this weird tendency to drive all their men insane, which... is very strange. I mean, they don't really have a good track record of this. None of them, right? I mean, look at Kanye. He's the latest in a long string of strange men involved with the Kardashian clan. Now, the argument here, when she says she's going to do some voodoo stuff, the argument I will float is that this does support the theory that the Kardashians are witches, because she apparently knows something about sympathetic magic, which is something we spoke about many, many years ago in a book I wrote called Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. We talked about this kind of magic, how some celebrities and artists practice it, allegedly, maybe. Artists like Kesha, she was keeping her fans' teeth and hair. Madonna was paying someone to scrub her rooms for any of the DNA she left behind. Shout out Freeman Fly. This is also called contagion magic. In fact, we talked about Left Eye Lopez from TLC at pretty good length in that book. And the story of Left Eye Lopez, she was down in Honduras doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know if she was seeing Dr. Sebi, but she was practicing all kinds of weird occult stuff. She was in a van that drove on these roads and creamed this kid and killed a young boy while she was there, right? And she held on to the dead boy's shoes. And she talked about how these dark spirits, they were coming after her, not the boy. She's like, I feel the spirit coming after me. There's a video of this. There's their whole documentary because they were filming this whole experience. Little did they know they would film her actual death. And the belief here is that the material world object links to the ether. This goes into the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below. It goes into the law of correspondence. And that's what a lot of this stuff is based on, is a lot of this stuff that goes back to Thoth and Egyptian magicians and all that stuff. So when Left Eye Lopez is holding on to this dead boy's shoes, there's a sort of energy connected to that, is the argument. And it's actually the same magic you see with voodoo in the voodoo dolls, right? You know, the voodoo doll, the witch or practitioner will put a pin in the voodoo doll, and the person will feel the pain. That's the idea. And these voodoo Jedi masters, they will even take a lock of hair and attach it to the voodoo doll. It adds power to the magic that happens there with the sympathetic or contagion magic. So Kim Kardashian said she was going to make a voodoo doll. She said, I'm going to do some voodoo stuff with this, right? Very strange. Her mom, oh, and by the way, I've got a lock of Charles Manson hair. Fun fact, I got a lock of Charles Manson's hair. My dad had, I mean, this is a long story. My dad was pen pals with Michael Channels many years ago, back in the 80s and 90s. And I guess they were friends on some level. I don't know the details. I was in contact with Michael Channels before. Seems like a nice guy. He's the guy who supposed to, at the time there was a beef over the estate of Charles Manson, and Michael Channels was in the running for possession of the body or something like that. Anyway, my dad had a ton of this Manson stuff. So when my dad died, that was my inheritance. I got a bunch of Manson murderabilia. I know, I'm a weird guy, right? But that includes a lock of Charles Manson hair. So I could make a voodoo doll for Charles Manson if I wanted to. Now, I actually was, I try to send this because it's like a framed thing with a bunch of stuff in it. A guitar pick, a bunch of his writings. He wrote like this poem. What else is in there? There's a bunch of stuff. And I tried to see if the, what's it called? In Hollywood, the Museum of Death, I think it's called. I tried to see if they would take it on a lease. I'm like, look, this is all I got from when my dad died. I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to give it away. But I will gladly give it to you on like an indefinite lease that if I ever someday down the road say, you know what, I need that back, I can come get it. But as far as I'm concerned, you can just have it forever and, you know, whatever. And they wouldn't do that. They will only buy it, which I get, right? There's some legalities there. And then I tried to get Zach Bagans to take it for the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. I guess they're not interested. I don't know. It's really interesting looking. Anyhow, Kim Kardashian's mom, Kris Jenner. This show's crazy. What are we talking about? Kris Jenner wore a dress that looked like Jackie Onassis, while Kim Kardashian was wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress, which obviously you know the connection there. And all of this is so strange. Because, of course, the conspiracy here is that Marilyn Monroe was killed for her relationship with the Kennedys. She was allegedly banging JFK and his brother Bobby, RFK. She did this birthday song in a very sexy dress to JFK. And Jackie Onassis, you know, JFK's wife, she's at home watching it on TV. She's like, this trifling ass bitch doing. And that's when JFK was like, he broke up with her. He's like, look, you are not too subtle. You got to go. He's like, why you got to be like that? But Bobby, he also was a little concerned. And he apparently visited Marilyn at some point after this and to ask her why she was so trifling about it. And that was the same day that she overdosed on medication. Because she died 3 months after singing this song. And look, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but I believe that all is not what it seemed with that one. And Netflix just happened to drop this series, The Mystery of Marilyn Monroe, The Unheard Tapes. I've not watched it yet. It's on my list. I got to get through the John Wayne Gacy series first. And it goes into the conspiracies of like how the intelligence agencies were looking into Marilyn Monroe's connections to communist Cuba, perhaps. Some think that the FBI had cleared her house before they let the police in to investigate because they knew that there was all this Kennedy stuff in there. Some say that she did commit suicide. Some say it was an accidental overdose. Some claim she didn't even die. Some say that she didn't die in the house. She died in the ambulance. Some say she died in the hospital. Which would be curious, right? Because that's how Princess Diana allegedly died. She was in the car accident in the Pont d'Alma tunnel. They kept her in there for like an hour. And then put her in the ambulance and drove around extra long. And apparently she died in the ambulance. Very strange. Some say she died in the tunnel. That's what I think David Icke's theory was, that she actually died in the tunnel because the Pont d'Alma tunnel means passage of the moon goddess. And Diana, of course, is the name for the moon goddess. And then years later, Selena Gomez would, Selena also being a name for the moon goddess, would be depicting herself as Princess Diana driving in the Pont d'Alma tunnel. Oh my God. I don't remember which video that was. Covered it back in the golden days of the IlluminatiWatcher.com blog. Back before I got the big lawsuit to take it all down. I'm going to use that every day on my show. Big martyr Isaac Weishaupt. Really trumping it up. But you know what? I had to pay the money, so, and then I had to take down years of work, so I'm going to play it for everything it's worth. Anyways, Bobby Kennedy, he was the attorney general, so he was able to control the FBI, so who knows what's true with all that. Okay, going back to the Met Gala, who else was there? There's not a lot going on with people wearing crazy stuff. Usually they wear all kinds of crazy stuff. Kid Cudi showed up looking like Blue Dracula. Elon Musk tried to look like a normal human being. Showed up with his mom, Mae Musk. And, you know, she's Illuminate confirmed as much as they can. She's buddies with Beyonce, did tons of symbolism in the fashion industry. Oh, and by the way, Dave Chappelle, guess who was in the front row? We're finding out in the front row was Elon Musk, Beyonce, and Jay-Z. What do you know? Now, a lot of people on social media are sharing an image of Elon Musk wearing a coat, a white coat that says Novus Ordo Seclorum. But if you look very closely, he's there with Grimes, and he's not dating Grimes anymore because that photo was back in 2018. Just want to clarify for the record, that was not in 2022. Doesn't take away from the argument. Like I stand by, Elon Musk is not the savior. He's not going to buy Twitter and make it great for you, I promise you. He's not the guy. Anthony Ramos spotted doing the Mano Cornudo. Lots of guys wearing blouses and dresses. Phineas Eilish, Lenny Kravitz, Jordan Roth. But what I want to take a minute to examine and to do a little mini deep dive into is these performances that happened on the Egyptian stage. Lenny Kravitz, Kacey Musgrave, who did an Elvis tribute because apparently there's a biopic about Elvis coming out this summer. That should be interesting, especially because me and Josie Weishaupt are doing a list of all the perverted pedo musicians. And of course, Elvis made the list. So interesting to see how they depict that. Now, and that's on Breaking Social Norms. If you haven't listened to Breaking Social Norms, check it out. You're going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's not the same show, but it's a good time. Now, what's curious is that these artists at the Met Gala, they performed in front, because it's a museum, right? They performed in front of an Egyptian ritual chamber, the Temple of Dendor. Sounds like a Game of Thrones scene. But if you go to the Met, they talk about it. I'm going to read you a bunch of nerdy stuff about it real quick. In ancient Egypt, temples were seen as residences for deities who were thought to temporarily manifest themselves in the cult statues located in the sanctuary. The temples were also the stage for daily rituals that were ideally performed by the pharaoh, but in practice by priests. These cultic performances included the offering of food and beverages as well as the burning of incense, which was thought to have a purifying effect. The inner rooms of the temple were restricted to those performing the rituals. During religious festivals, cult statues could be brought out of the temple. At Dendor, they were likely carried out onto the spacious cult terrace, enabling the public to feel closer to their gods. Don't you see the parallels here? The gods, those are the pagan gods, our celebrities. That's the new pagan gods. According to ancient Egyptian mythological concepts, the creation of the world was thought to be renewed inside the temple, and the building itself was regarded as an image of the natural world. In ancient Egypt, depictions were thought magically to become real. The temple's decoration thus not only guaranteed the performance of rituals, but also the continuation of the natural world and cosmic world order. Oh boy. So we're talking about the powers of magic through an actual Egyptian temple. And if you know anything about hallucinogens, set and setting are very important. So to have our new modern day pagan gods performing in front of an actual Egyptian temple, they thought magic could manifest a reality of a new world order. That's what this is all about. That's what all these celebrities are doing all the time. Now that's a good segue into Coachella. At Coachella 2022, which occurred over the Christian holiday of Easter, pick your path, which one do you want? They had on stage Moloch. Yes, Moloch with the horns. I'm going to put the image on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. Check it out. Right at the time of Beltane, the big sacrifice night, right? That last week of April, beginning of May, that's the time for the sacrifice of Beltane, the fires, the Baltane, B-A-A-L, which is the same as Moloch in a way, right? Shout out to Swervy Cadet on Instagram, tagged me in a video by Tommy Truthful TV talking about this. That's how I found out about it. I just wanted to give my proper shout out to the person that dropped it on there. Now, lots of people weighing in on this saying, oh, it's Bohemian Grove. And not quite. Because Bohemian Grove is an owl, and the owl is Minerva or Athena, the goddess of wisdom. Moloch is the deity, the bull that they used to sacrifice babies to. Yes. The bloodthirsty pagan god of the bull, Moloch, or Baal, shows up right at Baltane. I'm telling you, we're sliding into this pagan new world order. It's coming soon. Now, finally, this is the last thing. Yeah, this is the last thing we're going to talk about, and then we're going to wrap it up. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox drinking each other's blood, but it's not what you think. It's not what you think. It's for ritual purposes. Come on, guys. Take it easy. I'm going to play a clip for you. Take a listen and see what you think. I'll hit you on the other side.
my exact physical type that I've been manifesting since I was 4. I'm also 4 years older than him, so I think I made him, my thoughts and intentions grew him into the person that he is. Who knows what he would have looked like or been like if it wasn't for me. I guess drank each other's blood might mislead people, or like people are imagining us with like goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. It's just a few drops, but yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes only. It is used for a reason, and it is controlled, where it's like, let's shed a few drops of blood and each drink it. He's much more haphazard and hectic and chaotic, where he's willing to just like cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, take my soul. Let me bleed on you. It doesn't not happen, let me tell you. Maybe not exactly like that, but a version of that has happened many times.
Now, I intentionally left the beginning of that clip on there because for bonus points, she also talks about how she gets into a bathtub on the new moon. Yes, it's witchcraft protocol. She says, I cry often every new moon. Usually I get in the bath and cry a lot. And we talked about the symbolism of the bathtub many times before. Ironically, Kim Kardashian was put in the bathtub when she got robbed in Paris. And that's when Kanye West had the breakdown because he knew the Illuminati was after her. And oh boy, if you go to the Glamour magazine photo, the cover, you see she's doing the hidden hand on the cover, you know, with the Masonic thing where they put their hand inside the coat. She's actually doing the hidden hand a little bit. And we talked about, and here's the thing, we talked about all this back in January when Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly posted on Instagram they got engaged in January, and I did a whole show, and we talked about all of this. She said, just as in every lifetime before this one, and as in every lifetime that will follow it, I said yes. And then we drank each other's blood. The interviewer says, did you actually drink each other's blood? She said, yeah, I guess to drink each other's blood might mislead people, or people are imagining us with goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. And you heard the rest, right? So her post was saying that she drank blood, and I did a whole show talking about all this occult stuff and the goddess Kali and all this stuff, and a lot of people thought I was really stretching. And I'm going to really break my arm, pat my own back, but I was not. They're literally drinking each other's blood. And look, we've talked about blood drinking at great length. In fact, just recently in April we did it, right? Two of the bonus shows were dedicated to this whole topic. We did a film analysis of the film on Hulu called Fresh. It's all about cannibalism and drinking blood and Satanism. Then we did a book club on Kurt Barker's book, Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism. We cover this thing from top to bottom already. We talked about it with the most recent TMZ episode where we talked about Dua Lipa and Meg Thee Stallion's music video. This what's it called? The Sweetest Pie or something like that. And strangely enough, if you look at the roots of vampirism, this goes back to the anti-vaxxers, right? Way back when they had the, you know, smallpox vaccine. And these early anti-vaxxers, they thought that the vaccines would disturb the natural balance of the blood in the body, and this would create inadvertently vampires. And it goes back even further to, you can go back to Elizabeth Bathory. She's probably the most well-known person to consume blood, sacrificing folks. She would take a bath in the blood. And I'd argue she was depicted in Hostel 2. There's a scene where a woman gets in the bathtub and they slice a woman's throat and fills it with blood and she bathes in it. I mean, this stuff isn't necessarily hidden at all when you consider vampire facials and blood transfusions to try to stay younger and all this stuff. They don't necessarily hide it. It's real stuff. Now, why would they drink each other's blood? Could be like when we talked about, I'm trying to think of which episode it was. I think it was the Kurt Barker episode. We talked about Marilyn Manson and, oh, I'm drawing a blank. See, you go past an hour, my brain gets mushy. The Evan Rachel Wood, oh my God. She was in Westworld, right? Well, she released a documentary and talked about how her and Marilyn Manson would drink each other's blood. Same thing. They're all into this stuff. And then also one last little bonus. She also said at the beginning of the clip that, you know what, I screwed up. The bathtub comment is not on the clip. This is the comment that's at the beginning of the clip. So you don't think you're going crazy. It's me going crazy. She said, he's literally my exact physical type that I've been manifesting since I was 4. I'm also 4 years older than him. So I think I made him. My thoughts and intentions grew him into the person he is. She thinks, this crazy chick, she thinks she manifested, she thinks she manifested Machine Gun Kelly into existence. What is happening with these folks? We talked a ton about Megan Fox as a cult language back in January. I don't need to beat the dead horse. Let's wrap it up. In conclusion, and we didn't even talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. That's next, all right? I'm going to break down to you all of Johnny Depp's strangeness because I wrote a small little book about Johnny Depp, and it's on my Gumroad store. So when you're on there buying your shirts, you can buy a little booklet I made, a little PDF about Johnny Depp and all his Illuminati symbolism, right? And you don't have to do it because on my next show, I think, I don't know how I'm going to do this yet. It might be a bonus show. It might be my next show. We're going to talk about Johnny Depp. I'm going to talk about all this symbolism he's given us over the years. And a lot of people, they wanted me to talk about the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't followed it. That's too damn much following of celebrities for me. I mean, how long has this been going on? How many weeks are they talking? I catch the little sound bites here and there. It sounds very entertaining, very humorous. In fact, I know you're very interested in that topic because I made a post on my Instagram and it became like the most controversial thing I've ever posted. People are really upset with me because Amber Heard, I guess she had to write down all the sexual partners she had or something like that. And she wrote down Elon Musk, of course, because she was with him for a while. And she called him a moron or something on the thing. And I was like, I love that. Because I hate I don't like Elon Musk. I don't like his ass. I don't trust him. I think he's part of the agenda. There's nothing to trust about that guy. And I made it. I mean, granted, I troll a little bit, so I get what I deserve. But I made a post and I was like, you know what? I'm Team Amber Heard again. Because I liked that she talked so bad about Elon Musk. And a lot of people got upset. They're like, how dare you? Like, look, man, like I don't care. Neither one of them are angels. They kind of get what they deserve on some levels. But again, I haven't been paying attention. I have no idea. I know she took a dump in his bed. I'm not Team Amber Heard. I'm definitely not Team Johnny Depp. Although he just seemed like a pretty cool guy. I'll give you that. He comes off kind of like he's a cool dude. I mean, it's hard to be mad at the guy, but he's given us so much Illuminati symbolism over the years. I think he's Illuminate confirmed. But that's next week. In conclusion of today's show, I've been doing this for 10 years, all right? And I can tell you, with the Isaac Weishaupt certified stamp, without any uncertainty, this is an extremely abnormally high amount of activity for this strange realm of celebrityism with the occult. Is that a term? Celebrityism? What the hell is happening in our world? I can tell you, and you know because the last few episodes of the TMZ thing, I have to tell you the day that I'm recording it. That's not something that's typical. I have to tell you, look, this is the day I'm recording it because by the time you listen to this, this might be old news. There is so much happening, and I got to think, this is my theory. It's one of two things. One, it's revelation of the method. Helena Blavatsky and Aleister Crowley were all about revelation of the method back in the Gilded Age. How ironic. Back in the Gilded Age. I'm trying to think of the term. Science is the method. Religion is our aim, right? The occult sciences are being demonstrated. Megan Fox talks about drinking the blood, for example. DaBaby's sacrificing humans left and right. No one's stopping them. What is happening? It could be this has always been the plan. It's like that meme from Interstellar. Always has been. Then the other theory. This is the one I said was scary. What if this is the virus? The pandemic. I'm not going to say the word. It's not snake venom. It's a brain virus. It's a neurological virus. That's why everyone freaked out. It was cooked up in an lab. They all knew what this really was. That's why we're never going to get a straight answer on what it really was or where it came from. It's meant to attack our minds. Everyone's losing their minds. Everyone's resigning from their jobs. Things are wacky right now, right? I mean, why? You don't, for all the people that are, it's just a cold, that crowd, right? It's not just a cold. People are losing their sense of taste and their sense of smell. Colds don't do that. This is attacking the brain. There's a reason they're doing this. I got COVID in January. I just said it. Darn it. Well, it was nice knowing you guys. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP section. That's the last place you'll catch me. They can't ban me from that. That's my own shit. Anyway, when I caught the thing back in January, I sunk into a depression, and I'm still not out of it. I still don't feel like myself. In fact, I'm going to do a show about ketamine therapy because I've done several sessions of it, and I had to do a booster. I hadn't been in there in a year, and I had to do a booster, and I talked to the lady, not even putting this all together at the time, and I said, I don't know what happened. I caught the thing in January, and I just never snapped out of it. I just don't feel good. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, we've seen a ton of people relapse. Right after they get the thing, they end up in here to get a booster. Because in ketamine therapy, it's, long story short, it's it heals pathways in the brain. If you got, like, depression, anxiety, you know, all that stuff. I'm not advocating for it. It helped me, but, you know, I'm also very skeptical of a lot of things. Very strange experience. And I'm going to talk about that on an episode. I don't know if that'll probably be breaking social norms. That's more for that show. Anyway, that's my theory. I think maybe this virus is a zombie apocalypse virus. A lot of people were connecting the Will Smith I Am Legend thing to it, which maybe explains why he lost his mind. Slapped Chris Rock. People are losing their minds everywhere. What if this is the beginning of the end? That we just slowly devolve into like crazy vampire people or something. Like I said, terrifying theory. I have nothing to base that on besides observation. I hope I'm incredibly wrong with that. And that's all. Have a great day. That's all I got. I know, what a way to end the show, right? What's a better way to end the show? What can I sell you? Let me plug some stuff. You know, go to the Gumroad store and you can get the shirts while you're there. Get your little Johnny Depp PDF ebook. It's not available as a real book because, you know, it's like 50 pages or something. Mostly pictures. You could also make sure to check out the Instagram post. You got to follow me on Instagram, @IsaacWisehop. Link is in the show notes, or you can go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW. That has links to everything, all my socials and everything. Even Spotify, where you can get the Boner Jams playlist. Oh, so great. You can check out these posts and these images on my Instagram. You won't regret it. Like and subscribe, because I got lots of stuff I always post on there. I do Instagram live sometimes. You're going to love it. It's great. Okay, folks. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay woke.